Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey, folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. We are rocking. I'll tell you what, folks. I'm just amazed by your engagement, your generosity. I literally have people coming up to me, I'm not even joking, at my church in my city being like, hey, blockchain, I'm listening, I'm sharing. Here's what the team and I decided to do. We are up to 16 reviews. I just checked on Apple. I can't believe it. We've been out for a week. What we decided to do is every review that's given over the next month in January 22, what we're going to do is we are going to give B1G1, Business for Good, a donation for free, just in your honor, where it is going to feed kids for a week overseas. And if you're like, what is he talking about? Go to ignitingsouls.com and you can see that we are partners with B1G1. We give all over the world through the generous donations, through the business. You know, we're making business and we just say, look, let's give part of that to people around the world. So literally anytime from now forward, review 17, 18, 19, 20, I'm going to read your first name, thank you publicly in an upcoming episode, and we're going to write a check for the kids. All right. So thanks so much. I'm bringing on an amazing guest today. We are talking about a brand new topic for many people. It's called DAOs. So join me, Eric Diaz. How you doing today, my friend?
How you doing, Carrie? I'm doing great. Thank you for having me again. You know, I love engaging with you.
Oh man, I'll tell you what. Hasn't it been amazing, the interest? I mean, it seems like the world every day. I don't know if Facebook knows now that I like the topic, but I'm getting sent NFTs, blockchain, crypto, like everyone's talking about it. So not a lot of people have heard about DAOs. What does DAO mean? How did it come about? And why is it important with authors and blockchain and really any listener?
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting topic to talk about. Like I said, not a lot of people know what they are, but it's something that I see going forward could have a lot of impact and change the way a lot of things work with governance. And when I mean governance, I don't mean necessarily like the government. I mean the way rules are set, whether it is through a community or an organization or a club with your buddies, whatever it may be. So just to get into it, a DAO, D-A-O, stands for Decentralized Autonomous Organization. And the way this came to be was, essentially, as we've spoken to before, smart contracts is this code that once conditions are met within certain parameters, that things are executed, right? So these conditions and these parameters had to be set by somebody. So, you know, through the theme of blockchain and the theme of decentralization, some people questioned, like, okay, so the way these things work, once they're established, it's permissionless, you know, it's decentralized, anybody can interact with these contracts. But what about these parameters and what about these conditions that is essentially set by whoever decides to code it and things like that? So people came up with DAOs, and the way they work is that a set of tokens are distributed, and through these tokens, people now have voting power on the blockchain to vote on decisions, which are then made.
Gee.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So, you know, like I said, it started first with, you know, very, you know, hardcore blockchain ideas. Mm-hmm. It started with, you know, decentralized finance. You're like, okay, there's parameters that are set. Who decides to create these parameters, you know? And they also wanted to spread control. Okay. So a DAO is a version of way of kind of spreading out this control, decentralizing it. And then, you know, it's interesting. For example, Carrie, let's say you're a part of a DAO. Mm-hmm. And you no longer want to be a part of it. You know, you're not, it's not your thing anymore. You don't like that the theme that it's going. You can now sell these tokens. You can sell your voting power to somebody else. I can come along and say, hey, Carrie, I'd love to have a say in that organization. You know, I've been seeing it from the background. I'd love to buy your tokens, and we can arrange that. So That's,
I love this. I love this. You know, it's almost like, I mean, I like football, and the Green Bay Packers is kind of known in the world as the team that's owned by the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's very rare. It's very unique. So in a way, that's kind of like a DAO, but in another way, it's not. And here's what I mean. Folks, imagine that we're part of an organization. You know, most people have heard of Kickstarter,
mm-hmm. right?
GoFundMe and Kickstarter. In a way, that's a very manual process. But if we were to say, listen, if we raise X amount of money, then we're already going to pre-decide with our DAO that 10% is going to go feed the kids in Yugoslavia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 5% is going to go to human trafficking, rescuing slaves. I mean, we could literally preload a set of decisions that happen with a smart contract, but then the DAO would essentially be, you're saying, the governing body that, so I mean, in a way, this literally takes away governments. I mean, it could,
yes.
You know, because right now we have House of Representatives and senators, which represent the people in the United States, and then they have a vote, which is supposed to represent the people. But you're telling me if you're part of a DAO, you get the vote. And then on top of that layer, you could even have a smart contract that has a self-executing, essentially, decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Your conditions are met. That is nuts. I'm trying to think of use case scenarios. Like,
oh, there's a lot. I'll get into that. First, what you were describing were charity DAOs. Those exist.
Ooh, literally. Wow. Shut up, bro.
yeah, for the point of charities. And what's interesting is they serve kind of a double purpose, because where you can distribute these tokens, let's say for free, or you can have it set up where it's a token sale and the people that are buying in are receiving these tokens that represent voting power, so that those funds now belong to the DAO and you belong on voting power on how those funds are going to be used.
Jeez.
So it has like a different use case where it's like crowdfunding where the crowd gets to decide what to do with the money.
That's so good.
So people might have heard of DAO recently. Yeah. It became big news because there was a DAO created to buy one of the last few copies of the physical Constitution. The Constitution.
I'm looking at the article right now. Because Pete or somebody told me about this. It says, the crypto investors who raised $47 million to buy a copy of the Constitution lost their bid. So this almost happened.
They raised $47 million, Carrie, in less than 3 days, all through Twitter.
What?
Yeah. Me and my buddies participated because it was like, why not? You can say you own the Constitution. Why not? You know, it was kind of like a thing. So $47 million in less than 3 days, all through using just social media and Twitter.
All right. Let me read just a paragraph of this. The idea started about a week ago, thanks to an exchange of semi-joking Twitter messages about making a bid on the 1787 first edition printing. It is the first time in 33 years that one of the 13 surviving copies has been up on the auction block. Wow. So, I mean, that is powerful.
Yeah, the power there.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, wow.
So,
all right, this is mind-blowing. So it didn't happen, and the money was returned because they didn't raise enough?
Yeah, they raised $47 million, and they got beat out by a hedge fund billionaire manager. And it came out afterwards that he had no plans of buying it, but I guess his son saw the news on Twitter and told him, like, hey, Dad, you can't let the crypto guys win.
And he just
outbid them, because since it was decentralized and it was a DAO, everybody could see how much money was raised because it's on the blockchain. Everything is, you know, everybody can see what's going on. So you know, it didn't happen. But although it didn't happen, the power to what I just to what you just mentioned, like that happened in days through Twitter.
Yeah.
Participation from millions of people.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. You know, it's just amazing.
And so in a few days, random strangers bonded together and almost beat out someone who had a, you know, lifetime fortune that took, you know, incredible amounts of effort and energy. But you're just saying because of organization through a DAO, this happened. It's almost like what's impossible. I mean, you could say, let's set up a DAO for intergalactic space travel.
Yeah, you could. You theoretically could. And then if it has the interest behind it and it catches some buzz, people will donate. So
interesting. And then the smart contract basically says if the conditions aren't met, then the money is returned, or you could set it up that if the conditions aren't met, percentage goes to NASA for further study. I mean, you can literally put in the contract. So you avoid lawyers, you avoid banks, you avoid Visa, MasterCard. I mean, you basically just go straight to the source. This is powerful.
Yeah, it's very powerful. And I think, so as you mentioned before, like how everybody can vote as to what happens. Like I said, it's almost as interesting the fact that this new way of crowdfunding that's very unique and free and accessible to anybody is available to people now. Because before, to make certain sort of private investments, you know, investments into startups, things like that, you have to be an accredited investor, which means, you know, there's a certain set of rules. You have to meet a certain amount of net worth of income every year, or a certain amount of certifications to get into certain investments, which now through a DAO, anybody can do it. You can do it. I can do it. You know, my little cousin can do it, you know, things like that. So in terms of a funding platform, it's almost as interesting as even the governance itself, which is completely just, you know, a brand new thing that's happened.
So it's like, this is what I tried to chat with people, you know, because it's funny, I do security, all right? So okay. this is just not my real job. This is me donating my time at my church because it's, you know, I want to help out the church. But I was talking with the fellow security guys today, and it's interesting because some of them were like, oh yeah, crypto, you know, I've heard about that and blah, blah, blah. And there was some negativity and ignorance about it. But then once I started to tell these guys, like, hey, let's just unpack this for a moment. Let's unpack crypto. Missionaries. When you want to give money to missionaries in certain countries, there's countries that take a portion of it. Mm-hmm. And the amount of money that ever gets to the missionary, some countries, non-existent or very limited because everyone takes their hand. But with Bitcoin and some of this cryptocurrency, you can just bypass everybody. And that's what I almost hear you saying about a DAO. A DAO bypasses all the red tape, all the politics, all the funding prerequisites, and it gives the power back to the people. Do you see any dangers with DAOs?
Do I see any dangers with DAOs? Yeah, because what happens is two things. What I will say about DAOs is there are DAOs where it's completely the token and the contract directly. And that's could be more for sort of a very sophisticated financial model where everything resides in code, right? Versus a constitution, there had to be somebody at the auction house bidding on behalf of the DAO. You know, so that's a little bit different. They have, you know, people that, you know, they obviously buy in majorly to the DAO. So through that, they have like higher governance. And through that, they can sort of become like sort of a board of directors that then because similarly the constitution, there has to be actual physical people carrying out the duties of, let's say, bidding at the auction.
Yes. You know, yes. Wow.
You know, things like that. But I could see there are dangers, because one thing that this could present is two things. It could present a more truly form of free democracy, whereas, you know, like as you mentioned today, in the government, there's like representatives. You know, I'm not familiar too much with the political framework we have, but I know there are people in place that help carry our decisions. And, you know, whether they are truly sincere to our vote, or whether all of our votes get counted, as in like maybe the whole community doesn't vote. You know, I know a lot of people don't vote. Some people do, things like that. So a DAO could create sort of a more directly tapped into the crowd, as I would say, or into the community, to get a direct answer as to what decision that the people actually want to make. Now, that can be good or that could be bad.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I'm going to take a real big guess here. Last election, I knew a lot of people that were in this third group. Mm-hmm. They didn't really stand for the full Democratic Party and all their issues. They didn't stand for the full Republican Party and all their issues. You could literally have, for the first time ever, a fighting chance at a third political party within a DAO. Now,
yeah,
I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, yeah, something like that could happen, because that could raise enough funds to do that. Because a lot of things that, you know, represent challenges are first voting power, but also funds to run a campaign and things like that.
Yes.
So creating a DAO, that is something very interesting.
Because it's just financial. The DAO isn't just a financial mechanism. It could be
governance mechanism.
It could be a political party. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that is interesting. I'd say with government, through voting, it doesn't necessarily have to be a DAO. There are, I know, examples in Wyoming. They're already integrating blockchain tech with their local elections, because that could stop, you know, fraudulent voting, yeah, voter fraud, things like that. Because blockchain, you know, the beauty of blockchain, everybody can see what's happening. So if, let's say, if you were to hand citizens, each citizen with their, like, let's say, registered address, a token, they can then take that token and deposit it to either this or this, and that could represent their vote. That's a very primitive way of thinking about it. I know through code you can make this more sophisticated and more efficient, but it could be even as primitive as that. So, okay, if this wallet receives more coins than this wallet got more votes. You know, I'm just putting it really simply, but that's, you know, blockchain can have roles in voting to prevent voter fraud, but also make it, let's say, permissible to do electronically, let's say, from your home, your computer, or from your...
I totally saw that. I mean,
your phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I saw blockchain, and then I saw all the drama around the election, and, you know, every vote counts, every real vote counts, and and how it almost tore apart our country, I thought next election, 100% blockchain's going to be in.
Yeah. Well, I'd hope so. I know that, you know, unfortunately, with the government and the way things work, the government is slow, of course. And also, the technology is new, so people may not understand the technology. People may not be willing to adapt to the technology. The government itself might not understand it to the point they're willing to make that drastic shift to put their hands of the country's election into technology that's fairly new. I'm not saying it wouldn't work. What I'm saying is, you know, the way things are, that might not be as easy to happen. But I do see in the future being a part of voting. Excuse me. For DAOs, however, you're starting to see new initiatives through DAOs that are, you know, kind of like more the Constitution route, where it's things that are a little bit less serious, because owning the Constitution, their plan, you know, they were going to vote, but essentially the mission of the DAO was to essentially house it somewhere publicly for anybody, to accessible to anybody, you know, in a museum, you know, have it placed in a museum where everybody's accessible to it, you know, things like that. But I'm starting to see something along the lines that are a little bit more fun. I saw something called Lynx DAO. It's called Lynx DAO. And their mission was to buy a golf course.
Oh, interesting.
And the way the DAO was created was through the sale of these NFTs, which represented governance. And these NFTs are different tiers of passes to this golf course in which they plan on purchasing. So they raised, I think, somewhere between $10 to $20 million to purchase a golf course, which is enough.
Wow.
And they're looking to carry that out. And that's very interesting. Imagine a group of people organize themselves on the internet, you could almost all be strangers. You know, you don't have to know everybody, and you can guys can come together through eDAO and purchase a golf course, and it's literally called Links DAO. People can look it up on Twitter. It's a thing. You can buy the NFT as a member pass. So it's getting interesting because these DAOs, like I said, started for a more, you know, hardcore blockchain thing, having to do specifically with the tech, and now it's evolving into these things that who knows what else it can
you know,
become.
Charity, projects, governance. Wow. This is powerful. Where do you think, I mean, here's what I see. I'm going to bring a guy on in a few weeks because somebody introduced me to him, and I'm really excited to bring on you and all these other guests. But this gentleman basically talked about Burning Man. You ever hear about Burning Man?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So Burning Man, of course, is this festival out in the desert that essentially is an experiment with lack of governance and rules and currency. I mean, it's all an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And because of COVID, I'm told that they didn't have Burning Man for a couple of years, I guess. So instead, what they did is that Burning Man created an experience in the metaverse.
Oh, wow.
You see what I'm saying? So now you're starting to see these integrations between, okay, fine, the pandemic shuts us down, we'll just do the community and the experience in the metaverse. Now you could create a DAO essentially for Burning Man,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, any community that you need, that is it always the banner of governance? Is that kind of what a DAO is?
Yeah, the fundamentally, that's what DAOs came to be. They came through to be a form of governance through blockchain that creates, you know, these holds these decentralized values where, you know, voting power, decision making is held in the users which hold these tokens. And I know, you know, now it expands to metaverse projects, you know, well, these games that we talked about in our last episode, where these games have their version of governance tokens.
Yes.
Make decisions, let's say, within the game. Like, let's say players aren't liking the way the economics of the game is flowing, or they aren't liking, let's say, a certain thing that certain characters can do that they feel is, you know, extreme
cheating or whatever.
Cheating or things like that, or is too much for people to handle in the game. They cannot vote on this. So it kind of stretches to almost anything, any project, you know, like charity, you know, what do they want to fund to buy something? They can, you know, decide everything through the actual user.
Wow.
Which, you know,
that's crazy.
It continues through the theme of blockchain. And the fact that we mentioned just the constitution and the golf course, it's like, you know, it strikes me like, okay, what else can really be next? Because it seems like almost anything is possible now. Somebody DAO can come together and buy a stadium. And buy a sports team. You know, because these, you know, just as long as enough people get together on the internet and the, you know, a DAO is created, it seems like almost anything is possible in the future.
Yeah. And of course, lawyers and bankers are part of a lot of these things. But like you're saying, blockchain then integrates currency. And then it integrates smart contracts, and then it integrates fundraising. I mean, it truly, and this is what I want people to realize. You know, I've had some people come up to me like, "Oh, I saw your new direction. It's crypto." I'm like, "What? Hold on." I said, "It's blockchain. Blockchain is literally changing the world, and crypto is one use case or expression of blockchain." But it's distributed trust, and every relationship is built on trust. Try to think of a organization that doesn't have governance. I mean, school board. Mm-hmm. I'm part of a, what do you call it? We live in a neighborhood where there's a housing association, churches, businesses. I mean, I have a client named Deborah Brown who's, she runs the national governance company in Canada, and she's essentially a consultant. But try to tell me, like, even a family runs on governance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Gangs run on governance. It's how we live and breathe and move and work. So, wow, this is unbelievable. So we talked about potential dangers. Do you think even video games, I know you just said like the metaverse, but could Fortnite or something like that say, you know what, we want to expand the decision power to the players.
Mm-hmm.
They could create a DAO.
Yeah, very, very much so. They can create a DAO and say, for example, I know, you know, Fortnite, there's like different guns, right? Every so and so often, they change, they either remove a gun from the game, or they can add a new gun to the game, or they can take the power of a gun away from it. Because, say, people complained online. That happens often. Like, people complain, like, oh, this gun is too crazy. You know, people are doing too well. It's like, it's not cheating, but it's a little bit like overkill. Like, these people are, it's too much. And then every once in a while, they decide to do that. So, through a DAO, it can give truly power back to the players, and players can decide because they play the game all day. They can decide, okay, maybe, you know, this sniper is good, or maybe this sniper is too extreme. Like, whoever has the sniper in the game ends up winning all the time, things like that. You know, one of the dangers, though, that I could see with DAOs is this. So let's say anybody who has a Fortnite account, they distribute all the governance tokens equally to all the players. Let's say all the players get 5 tokens, and they represent their voting power. Let's say I don't play Fortnite that much, but I'm starting to see online the Fortnite coins are going for like $10 a pop.
Yeah.
You know, maybe $50 for some lunch could do better for me than Fortnite governance tokens, because I frankly don't play that much, you know.
Interesting.
I can sell it. So then it could become where, you know, whoever has the most capital could then influence the games more.
Mm.
So that is a factor that people must consider, because like I said, they become tokens, and because everything is decentralized, what stops me from going on to a decentralized exchange to sell these tokens? Because
did you ever make a token that's not sellable?
I don't think so. Anything is sellable. It's blockchain. It's permissionless. You know, things like that. I'm not sure if there's such thing as non-transferable assets.
Interesting. Okay, and
that's something I haven't really explored.
That's good.
You know,
I'm thinking CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking of franchises that are spread all around the world. And if they wanted to give CrossFit owners a voice, rather than say, okay, CrossFit corporate decided this and hands down, everyone has to now do it, you could essentially make franchises, Subway, you know, all these different franchises. Mm-hmm. Could be a DAO, and they could have some voting rights.
Yeah. Now, what I will say also is that I'd say this form of decentralized democracy structure isn't something that's fit for everything. Naturally, you know, there does have to be like a hierarchy governance structure in some things, not in everything, of course. You know, this creates, like I said, new avenues of governance structures. But I do believe also that sometimes like hierarchies are to be held. Let's say a private company. If it's my company, you know, it makes sense for me to make the decisions, or me and my, you know,
board or whatever. Yeah.
My board, yeah, to make those decisions. So like I said, it's not fit for everything, but it's definitely something new. It's definitely that gives power to people that did not exist before.
Yeah. I love it.
To be excited about, you know.
I love it.
Yeah. It's something that I'm excited about. What you said about franchises, actually, I saw the other day, people were selling I don't know how real it was. I was seeing things saying that it's true, some things that it's not true, but people were selling Olive Garden franchises as NFTs online. You know, so it's just, you know, kind of to steer people in certain directions. Like, things aren't impossible. Like, these things might sound extreme or crazy, but it's things that are coming on the horizon, whether it's
this year,
10 years from now, the technology is there. People will utilize it because, like I said, it offers certain benefits that don't exist today in other forms of technology.
Yeah, I mean, I saw just headlines about Disney Plus entering the metaverse.
Mm-hmm.
And Marriott is now entering. So tourism, And I think that people at first, they kind of scratch their head and they say, I don't really get it. And that's what I heard a lot. But my advice has been, hey, folks, keep listening to the episodes, because, you know, I think I told you, I showed you a picture. We just had our mastermind in town, Fire Ring. Mm-hmm. And at one of the dinners, someone wanted to talk about metaverse and Bitcoin and blockchain. So we started chatting, and it was amazing, because we began talking about, you know, we could have a author lounge in the metaverse.
Yeah.
And you could literally check out books and, you know, as NFTs. And I mean, it's like, as long as people just get together and start spending a few minutes thinking about their context, they come up with all these scenarios that they never thought of. And I love that. That's the point of this whole podcast. It's not to say, hey, everybody invest in, you know, this crypto. It's to say, open your mind, look at blockchain, and then you are unique. The listeners are unique. And so then think through how that will affect the lens of your life. And I think I told you this, I'm meeting with my pastor in a week to talk about him forming a church in the metaverse.
Yeah.
It's like, and then he's thinking like, whoa. So I do think amazing things can happen, and I'm excited. And Eric, what do you think would be a good question for our listeners today? Like, about DAOs, thinking maybe
I just want our listeners to maybe, you know, comment below what you think could be a great idea for a DAO, whether it's something that you've always wanted to accomplish. Let's say, you know, you want to construct a community pool. That could be something. Ooh. Or you want to own the Yankees. I don't know what it could be, but just know that it is possible through a DAO. I've given you examples, and, you know, it's only growing, and the power is growing through social media, through, you know, whatever way you communicate. People from all over the world can now contribute to these things, and, you know, things can be carried out that others thought would be impossible.
It's almost like 30 years ago, before you were born, with the internet, people are probably saying, you know, we should put, instead of just putting our business card on a sales page on the internet, what if we actually collected money and sold something on the internet? You know, like now today it's obvious, and we're streaming videos and we're doing crazy stuff. But I think today, if we then were to watch this 20 years from now, we'd be like, whoa, they weren't even aware that you could do X, Y, Z, and ABC. Mm-hmm. So that's what it takes. It takes people jumping in this conversation and then just using imagination. You know, right? I mean, you agree?
No, I definitely agree. And, you know, some people might say, okay, sure. Let's say the Constitution, for example. Sure, like, I guess I can buy into the Constitution, but what can I really do with that then? What do I really want to decide? You know, it's cool. I could say I own it, but what do I really care what to decide to place it and things like that? And something I would say is, let's say the project or the DAO that you invest in or create in, let's say that the golf course, let's say somehow that golf course becomes extremely popular because of the story. Now people want to go. So now there's more demand. There's only a set amount of tokens or passes or governance, you know, to access this course. The value of your governance might just drastically increase just because of pure demand. So, you know, have that in mind. You know, if you ever see a DAO that you may be interested in, you know,
that's true.
Understand the vision, understand, you know, not just the immediate decisions that you made now, but how it could play out in the future, because it could be something that could, you know, change your life as well.
Well, that's interesting, because I am from Wisconsin, and there is a joke. When my cousin got married, he married someone who had season tickets and part owner to the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And the joke was, hey, John married, the woman was named Carrie. John married Carrie just so he could get in to the Packers. And you know, anyway, it was a joke, but the point is that it was highly valuable.
Yeah.
People that put their kids on the list, the day they're born, and they don't get tickets until they're like in their 60s. So I want people to realize, like, that's a really good point, Eric, that you just mentioned, that the value of a DAO could massively increase. It's good.
Yeah, depending on what the purpose of it does, how it's carried out, decisions that are made, you know, the popularity behind the demand, things like that, it can all play out in many different ways.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, imagine if Disney years ago had a DAO, and now you, as, you know, one of 100 people in the world, get to decide what the next roller coaster is going to be.
Yeah.
Pretty slick. Yeah. Well, folks, this is great. Remember, don't forget about the reviews. Why do we want reviews? Because we want more people to get this information. We believe that if the whole world can be in touch with blockchain. I'll close with this, Eric. I'll bring on this guest that I mentioned in a few weeks. I just started listening to him on YouTube, but he says that we are coming out of the information age, and the new age is the imagination age.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that blockchain and crypto and smart contracts and NFTs, that these are the tools that will make the imagination age essentially limitless. What do you think about that?
I definitely agree. As I learn more and more about the technology and the things that are starting to be accomplished, like I said, I think it's limitless. Like I said, they raised in 3 days over Twitter out of nowhere $47 million to buy a constitution because people thought it was funny. You know, things like, okay, so what if people got serious about a certain thing they wanted to do with a certain amount of money, things like that. So to me, like I said, it's definitely limitless. You know, like I said, it's all about creativity. So I want the listeners to comment what they would create a DAO for, because I'm interested to hear people's ideas. You know,
that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, listen, thank you so much. You'll hear from Eric again in the future. And I love these chats. And Eric, thanks for being here today.
Of course.
Take care, everybody.
See you.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.